Our gospel lesson for today is found in John in the first chapter, the 43rd through 51st verses. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Here ends our reading of Scripture for this second Sunday after Pentecost, this Sunday in ordinary time. And now I invite you to join me in prayer before the sermon. Shall we pray? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's a pleasure to be with you once again and to test out what it's like to preach Zooming. I do a couple Zoom study groups and a confirmation class, but this will be a little different. So I thank you for this opportunity. We've finished the Christmas season. If you're like the Moore family, we finally took out our tree. And in a way, it's kind of sad when I get up in the morning and usually my wife is already up and got the Christmas tree lights on and now it's just dark. But we think back with warm thoughts of Christmas time. Usually our family gathers around the very table I'm sitting at right now on Christmas Eve around a fondue pot. And I've got my four children and their families, and we're just all in a big hubbub close together. Well, of course, this year it was very different. And if you're again like we were, you were alone. My wife and I were alone, again sitting at the table, again with our fondue pot, but no children. The good news is that all of our children were exactly where you are at right now. They were on Zoom. And it was kind of fun to gather. Really, it wasn't so bad. And then on Christmas Day, we were able to gather with my 100-year-old mother and my brothers as we also greeted one another through this nifty little thing called Zoom. So in spite of all this physical separation that we're feeling, we today can be gathered, and I suspect some of you were also gathered with family, as you knew that you were known and loved. And even though we can't reach out and hug one another right now, at least those outside our bubble, we still know that we are known and loved. And in each of our scripture lessons today, we find this also true about us who are in a larger family that we call the family of faith. We look at the first lesson from 1 Samuel about this young boy named Samuel whose mother had dedicated him to God. And the old kindly priest encourages him. And Samuel then comes to know that he is known and loved by God. And God will call him as a judge and, yes, in a way, a prophet. And then in our gospel lesson from John, we met a fellow Nathanael. The only place we meet Nathanael the disciple is in the gospel of John, and only twice, here and now and later at the end. But Jesus calls him, and here Nathanael is called by this stranger, but who knows him, and yes, who loves him more than he could even understand. And then finally, we go to our first lesson that we read today. We open the wonderful book of Psalms, and we encounter a writer who really feels close to God. And he says that God has searched me and known me, huh? God has searched me and known me. And then he makes this amazing statement where the psalmist said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made by this God who knows me and loves me. As I think about all of this, I am in awe. I am in awe right now, even though it's a cloudy day, I am in awe of God's creation. And I think back to just a couple of weeks ago when my wife and I were up at Cable, Wisconsin. We had to pass through Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls to get there. And we were skiing at the Rock Lake Trail there in the Shawamigan National Forest. And we just stopped and we looked around, and it was sunny and fresh snow. And for us, it was magnificent. We were in awe. But even more so in this time, I am in awe of God's intimate knowledge and love of us, God's people. And one phrase that again strikes me is from that Psalter where the psalmist writes, I praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. It takes me back to a discussion that I had with a woman who had grown up in one of the churches I served. She was now working at a Roman Catholic cafeteria for a high school. I think it was in Warsaw. And through her work, she came to become friends with a young worker who just happened to be gay. And this was a time, when we were even less friendly to gay folks than we are now. And not only was this young man gay, he was dying of AIDS. And she tried to relate to him, and she kind of had a transformation. She learned to really love and appreciate this young man. And then she came to know about a book. And it just happened to have the same title as what is in our Psalter reading today. Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. And it was written by a fellow named Father Robert L. Arpin, who happened to be also a priest who was dying of AIDS, but who knew that God loved him and knew him. And as he had done his searching, he had come to the conclusion that, yes, he was fearfully and wonderfully made by a God who didn't care. And it helped me, of course, in my life, because I happen to have a couple daughters who would describe themselves as not heterosexual. And like some of you, perhaps I've grown in my understanding of God's all-encompassing love. And I stand in awe of this God who has created each of us in a very special way. As James Lindbergh expresses it, we are not mass-produced, but custom made. So each one of you out there is a unique individual. You are custom made. You are special in the eyes of God, the God who knows you and loves you and has placed you in this creation to be you, not somebody else, but you. There's a story that's told about a young rabbi named Susha. And he was right at the beginning of his ministry and is feeling kind of discouraged and frankly inadequate. But then an older experienced rabbi took him to the side and he said, When you get to heaven, God is not going to say to you, why weren't you Moses? No, God will say, why weren't you Susha? So why don't you stop trying to be Moses and start being the Susha God created you to be? And that is our goal, huh? To be the person, the best person, even though we know our weaknesses, that God has created us to be. We don't have to try to imitate anybody else. Each one of us was created for a particular purpose. We may not be called like Samuel, and we may not be one of the 12 like Nathaniel, but each of us is just like the psalmist, fearfully and wonderfully made. And if you look at yourself, I think you can think both ways. There are some things that, man, how did God create me? It's fearful. But then also, how did God create me? It's wonderful. And we can also look at our world about us, huh? And we can say, oh, there are many things to fear, but there are also some wonders out there. And I think of this especially in this January 16th day, or is it 17th? 17th day, isn't it? Yeah. 17th day as well. Many things have happened and many things will. We think back, it strikes me that it was on Epiphany Day, January 6th, Epiphany Day, when the wise ones from a foreign land came to honor the Christ child. That on Epiphany Day in our own country, some very unwise people came from our own land and attacked our capital in a very disreputable way. And so now we are fearful, aren't we? The whole capital is under siege, and we wonder what's going to happen, even maybe at our own capital in Wisconsin. Not only that, of course, we're under the challenge of COVID-19, and if you're like I am, you think, okay, I'm in that age category where maybe I can get one pretty soon. Maybe I can get that vaccine. But, of course, I just read an article in the paper the other day about a sports columnist who thought, no, he was immune. And he wore his mask most of the time, but he skipped a couple of times, and he came close to death, and he said it was scary. But we may be fearful, but we also are hopeful. We think that tomorrow is the official celebration of Martin Luther King Jr. I can remember, I'm old enough to remember, that when I was in my first year of grad school, I came home from work, and what had happened that day? King had been assassinated. But more than King's assassination, we remember King's hopeful and brave words and how he was willing to peacefully protest and work against discrimination. And now, lo and behold, it's the one of his successors at his church, Ebenezer in Atlanta, and now has become a U.S. senator. And we're also hopeful now as we look forward to Inauguration Day on Wednesday, and we certainly pray that our new to-be president, Joseph R. Biden Jr., can help us in our time of healing. Yes, in our world, there are awesome, fearsome, wonderful opportunities and challenges ahead of us. But the good news for us on this mid-January day is that God knows us and loves us, each one, and that God loves this creation. One of my favorite authors is a woman named Marilyn Robinson. She happens to be a good member of one of our UCC churches. I'm UCC in Iowa, but one of her most famous books is written about a Presbyterian minister. So you as Presbyterians may want to check her out. She writes about an elderly Presbyterian minister, one at the end of his life and his ministry, a fellow named John Bolton, who has two children come home after some disappointments at life, Jack and glory. And as they gather together, they offer what Robinson calls small gestures and little courtesies to one another, even as they remember past hurts and even present troubles. And then, in spite of all of this in this family, she writes that they leaned toward hope. They leaned toward hope. And that's kind of where I see us on this, yes, this cloudy January day. My prayer for us is that each of us in our biological families, our faith family, our national family, our family of humanity, that all of us may lean toward hope in full appreciation of the one who knows us and loves us. And that's my prayer for us today as we gather through Zoom. Amen.